You know, the month of December must be by far the most schizophrenic of them all. Now, you can observe it. You don't have to do too much observing to see how crazy it becomes. If someone from the Milky Way were to land in their spaceship and observe the Earth during this month, those alien visitors would conclude that Earthlings have completely lost their minds. Why is this month so crazy? Well, you know, I'm going to go back a little bit. Some of you may remember in the prehistoric days prior to Walmart, a dime store chain called F.W. Woolworth. Who remembers F.W. Woolworth? During my childhood, it was the Tiffany's of all stores. I mean, I didn't know what Tiffany's was when I was a child, but that's what it would have been. I loved to go to Woolworth, smell the popcorn and the cashew nuts and hear the Christmas music playing. It just was Christmas to me, you know, like that. Walmart will never replace Woolworth in my heart. Oh, good. We got Presbyterians saying amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. My mother one Christmas told me that a family friend who was a cashier called Renee, she worked at Woolworth, by the way, would get herself a nerve shot prior to the Christmas shopping season to keep her sanity. Now, that sounds ludicrous, but it's true. All this mania is because there is so much preparation, both in faith and pocketbook, transpiring to get ready. As some of us climb a stepladder to hang the Christmas lights at just the right spot, we're preparing. As we pounce upon the shopping malls or Amazon with a high level of intensity and aggressiveness, we're again preparing. In fact, it's funny, when I was walking out the door coming over here out of the manse, there was an Amazon package for me there. So yes, I have been on Amazon. But as houses and apartments and mobile homes become filled with the smell of cookies, and radio stations still include the old nostalgic songs about sleigh bells ring, are you listening, and I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, even in Florida, people are preparing because soon it will be Christmas Day. This is a month of preparation along with the folks from FedEx and UPS. We are observing Advent according to the church calendar, and it means good news is arriving soon. It is also, and much more importantly, that this time of the year is when preparation means the birth of Christ. This preparation means celebrating his humble, quiet arrival in Bethlehem, which goes contrary to all the noise we make today. Think about that. People are proactive in all their activities to prepare for Christmas. Nevertheless, let us not forget to include the spiritual concern to prepare ourselves for Christ. It's easy to prepare for the holiday of Christmas. Just look at what people are doing during this time, and it's quickly understood, but how do we prepare for Christ? It's a mystery for many of us. Christmas may be ready for us, but are we ready for Christ? Think about it. Did you notice something intriguing about the introduction to chapter 3 by Dr. Luke, who by church tradition is supposed to be the author? The secular big shots were listed first. Tiberius Caesar was listed during the reign, and then Pontius Pilate, who was the Roman governor. Now, that's a few years after the birth of Christ, of course. And then all of a sudden, you have the so-called puppet rulers. They were Jewish rulers whom Rome had appointed to head up those little regions of the empire like Galilee and Trachonitis and Iturea and Lysanias. I mean, they were just there. They were pawns of Rome, but they were listed there. And then, of course, we have the religious hierarchy of the Jewish temple mentioned here as well. No lowly rabbis mentioned among the elite. You know something, it brought me, when I was preparing this sermon, it reminded me, have you all ever seen when the Pope is standing on the balcony at Vatican City, and out in the crowds are hundreds of priests and nuns, and you know what? They're all anonymous. They're not up there on the balcony with His Holiness. They're standing in the crowds. And most of them will probably never get their names in the newspaper. And I find that sort of sad and lonely. I mean, it's like a majority of us. We're anonymous. But yet, God still knows each of us. Think about that. Think about that. We're not anonymous to God at all. And finally here in this listing, there's a yokel preacher named John the Baptist mentioned. If my genealogical research is correct, John and the Lord were second cousins in Mary's branch of the family. An interesting underlying theme to John's homiletical message was that of preparation. John the Baptist explained it better than any person in the Bible. John was a desert hermit with no pews, no central air conditioning, nor a Geneva robe, but his church was out in the desert by the Jordan River preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John was called Baptist because he encouraged people to repent and be baptized. John had been commissioned by God to announce the arrival of the Messiah. Jesus Christ was about ready and prepared to launch his ministry. And John was preparing people by telling them it was time to repent. You know, repent is a repeat of a word I've used several Sundays. And it really means to make a U-turn or change direction. And John the Baptist told the people to alter their way of life and pursue God's path. Without the Lord, true repentance is impossible. Our people will never change their wicked, wicked ways, to quote the old movie star Errol Flynn. And what happens is that's when there is a transition experience which creates true Christian joy. As God has forgiven us, He's also given us strength too. There must be a desire to make determined and substantial changes in our lives. Have you changed much since last December? Think about that. How's your faith journey been doing? Has it been going pretty good, or has it slowed down? Has it become stagnant, or is it on Prozac, just speed it up like that? See, that's the reason why none of us should compare our faith to someone else. Because we'll always feel insecure if we do. See, we're all on a different, it's kind of like being in a race. Some of us are in the lead and some of us are falling behind. But that doesn't mean we're less of Christians. It's just where we are spiritually and where God has placed us. So don't despair if somebody you think, wow, they really know what they're talking about. No. Now, I hope he's not listening in Chile, but that friend of mine that stayed with me a few weeks ago, I've known Greg for 35 years, maybe 40 almost, and I just think the world and love him to death. But honest to goodness, we'd be talking about something. He said, I think we need to pray about it. Well, it was about 18 prayers a day, and I'm not saying anything against praying, but after a while you really wonder if what's going on there, you know, and I mean, I pray, I believe in prayer, but he kind of made an issue out of it every time, so I kind of backed off a little bit. I said, I'm thankful he's praying, but let's not, and I was going to say overdo it. I don't want to say that. That sounds like I'm being arrogant, but you know what I'm saying about that. You know people like that. They actually make you feel inferior to their faith journey. Don't let that happen to you if you're around somebody who's really, I mean, more demonstrative in your faith, in their faith than you are. Don't make it feel like you're bad like that. Each of us, like I said, are created in God's image. And our faith will grow with God. We don't have to grow with somebody else. And that's the important factor there. So guess what? So are we ready for Christmas this year? And are we ready for the Lord? If we listen closely over the pleasant songs about Rudolph, Silver Bells, and Santa, there can be heard a voice of someone bellowing in the wilderness who shouts, "Prepare the way for the Lord." That is the message of Advent. Advent should facilitate or motivate us to do two things: watch and wait in anticipation. Bethlehem is history. Bethlehem is relocated and is now placed wherever we are residing. It is also found whenever we reach out in love and compassion to others, whether it is giving a person a drink of water, asking forgiveness, placing money in the Salvation Army buckets, or just waiting on the Holy Spirit to teach us all things which need to be learned to follow the Lord completely. See, during this time of Advent in our preparation, there's so many things that we can do to help what happens around us. Now, am I saying you have to get on the next plane to fly to China or to Ethiopia to do mission work? No. You can do it right in your own backyard. So that's an important thing to keep in mind. Now, Betty was going to be here, but I'll make this announcement too. In February, we're going to have Dr. Davis from Anchor House to speak the second Sunday, I believe, in February. He's always got something interesting and new to tell us about all the boys that's in the group home, plus those transition homes too. They are scattering throughout Polk County, as well as I think there's one in Orlando now. So you think about that. And then we've got the Harris home over there on 17. And that's a viable ministry in itself. And so there's so many opportunities for us to reach out with the good news of Jesus Christ to people who may not even know about Him. And what is needed is that they need to know that you care about them. And how can you express yourself the gospel any better than caring about someone? That's the important thing, the message of the good news of Christ's birth on December 25th. You know, God will give us all the opportunity to do that something special, to make an impact, even in our own little corner of the world. I mean, yeah, you may not be able to help a person immediately in Wyoming, but you can help somebody maybe here in town or maybe in other parts of the county, wherever it may be. Let the Lord prepare all of us for the day when the world shall see Jesus Christ, and not necessarily in a Hallmark Christmas card or a nativity scene, but truly when we see Him face to face. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, as we've gathered here this morning on this second Sunday of Advent, we are grateful to be here and knowing that Your Spirit is prevailing. Help us as we strive to get to Christmas, that during this time there will be many quality moments to reach out and touch people, O Lord, with Your grace. Help us and give us the strength and inspiration to do so. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.